Welcome to The Creative Fault, a weekly podcast that is for creatives and artists. Get your weekly gems and jewels when you want to self-improve, educate, sprouts up your lifestyle, and just get some little bit of entertainment along the way. Welcome to The Creative Fault. Hey people, welcome back to another podcast of The Creative Fault. I'm sitting here with a very interesting person, Dante Muse, an art consultant, and I am very interested to hear what he has to say. I came across his page on Instagram, saw a couple of videos of him, and also saw a very practical and just really easy flowing way of explaining the artistic journey and how artists, creatives, can actually develop themselves to be real professionals in what it is that they have to offer. So welcome, Dante. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Yes. So I just gave a really small introduction of who you are, but I always like to give people the opportunity to explain who they are in their own words. So please take the floor.
I try not to take too long on that. I do a plethora of things. I'm an artist myself. Visual, I used to, I grew up in instrumentation. I can't say I play now because I probably can't even remember how to read music. I used to play, about three or four different instruments, growing up, and I stopped, once I got to undergrad, pretty much started getting into other things. But I'm a gallerist. I have an award-winning art gallery. I am an artist coach. I teach entrepreneurship because every artist is a business, whether or not they realize it.
I agree.
So I specialize in artist professional development. So I advise for some arts organizations, but just recently, over a year now, I've been coaching individual artists, to help them, achieve their goals, monetize their creativity, get more shows, more opportunities, really grow as artists. So that's been my niche.
Entrepreneurship. That sounds really interesting, especially the part where you started explaining a little bit about your own craft. And what is the instrument that you exactly play?
So I played trumpet, all horns. I wanted to be a drummer because I always thought drummers were cool, but there was no place for me. They already had the drummers, when I got into band and all of that. So trumpet, euphonium, baritone horn, little French horn. There's some valve trombone, mostly horn instruments. I was in a few jazz bands, stuff like that. So, yeah. We got into music production and artist management on that side of things. We had our recording studio. Actually, when I opened the gallery almost 6 years ago, I was looking to open up another recording studio and performance space. And just was not in the universe's plans. We in the midst of trying to get some custom apparel made for a video that we were doing with artist that was pretty famous at the time. The artist, visual artist that did some sneakers for me, he wanted to open up a gallery at the time. And I'm like, oh, well, me and, my other partner, we were looking to open up space already. And, we all kind of, grew up like brothers. So I'm like, let's do something together. And had in my mind that I was going to open an art gallery now based upon our conversations. And then he ended up pulling out like the week of us signing everything, getting everything together. But I had already, like, you know, shook hands and kissed babies. You know, I'd already told everybody I was opening a gallery. I negotiated, you know, the deal. I got my first couple months in the spot free while I was renovating all that. Like, I, you know, I went to business. And then he decided he wanted to be part of it. So we had to change things up real quickly. And especially because he was going to handle the art component of it, the visual artists. You know, he was doing all that. He knew a bunch of artists. He was going to handle all of that. My other partner, who was still in it with me now, so now it's just me and him, as far as the gallery. He was going to handle the music side because he actually produces and engineers and all that, and I was going to handle, you know, the business part of it. And I quickly had to learn the art part of it as well, because now I have a gallery, and I know I'm not in visual artist world. So this was, yeah, this was 6 years ago. So I had to dive in head first. I remember we got the keys. And I went to, I think it was like 13 or 14 different galleries in like a 17-day period. You know, trying to learn, trying to absorb everything that I can. Even drew from New Jersey down to Charlotte, North Carolina to see an opening of a black art gallery, and that's a 9.5 hour drive, you know, but I was determined to make it happen. And then the artist, who was fairly known at the time, her name is Whitney Austin. She was fairly known at the
time. I know her, yeah. I follow her on Instagram. Beautiful artwork, yeah.
So I was there for her first gallery opening, before she opened the second one, you know, in the mall and all that type of thing. So so, you know, I went to get the vibes and, you know, see other people's interpretation of how it should be done so I can put together my own. And that's actually the same period of time where I met my first art mentor, who passed a couple years ago now, Jerry Gant, who is renowned in Newark, New Jersey, where I'm from. He actually was childhood friends and actually used to paint a bunch of different projects with Jean-Michel Basquiat, you know, when he did his stint through Newark and everything. So I learned a whole lot from Jerry, and it helped me really accelerate, you know, shorten my learning curve space. And although he didn't have any experience, you know, being a gallerist, he had all the experience being an artist and, you know, how artists typically operate and things that are missing, what could be, you know, filling in the gap for them, what, you know. So I took upon all of that mentorship that I got from him, and became who I am today.
Yeah. So how did you discover for yourself the moment that you knew, well, art is the thing for me? For me, for you, then in this case, it was music. How did you discover that? Was it a nudge? Was it like, all other things don't matter to me, this is what I want to do, and it feels for you?
I just did that when I decided to go and do the gallery. Before that, because I was always, you know, book smart. You know, I've never lacked intelligence. I have a fairly high IQ as well. So I was a very good test taker. School always came easy. So, like, if I tried at all, like, I'm going to get at least a B, you know. I could probably show up and get a B, but, you know, I was mostly A's, you know, and then, you know, a couple of B's in there. But because of that, I was always kind of, even though my parents technically gave me the freedom to choose, it was still kind of implied, you know, go to school or something. It was really like, all right, when you graduate, you either go to school or you work. And it's like, all right, I'm not ready to just work yet. You know what I mean? So let me go ahead and buy myself time, you know, and go to school or whatever. So, like, even though I started early, even in entrepreneurship, you know, 11 years old, I threw my first pay party. You know, I didn't even know what event planning was for me, but graduation, you know, I was charging all the guys $5, all the girls $3. I was selling sodas, selling waters, you know, had to hire a DJ, all of that. I didn't have examples of people who were thriving entrepreneurship, for me to even take that as like something that I could do seriously and consistently and all of that. So I've dabbled in event planning and everything as well, which is why I'm able to fill my gallery now with people, because I have that background, you know. But I always kind of look to, you know, the more traditional paths and, you know, getting a job versus creating one and things like that. Up until I got fired from my last job right before I opened the gallery. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm kind of over this, done, you know. And that, all the ones that I didn't get fired from, because I got fired from a handful of them. Like, my learning curve, like, I learn and then I get bored. Like, there's nothing else to learn, or there's nowhere else for me to go. And I'm like, all right, what am I doing now? You know, like, I, you know, no longer kind of want to be there. I want to move on, learn something else and continue to grow. So I got tired of all that. I got tired of it. And then the way the gallery came about, and even when we, like I said, once we got the keys, we're in the building and filing for, you know, licenses and, you know, different permits and all that. Like, a lot of things should have typically been more difficult. They were kind of rolling out for us, you know, like it became more and more evident that this is where I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. As we went along. So just kind of fully embraced it. And then finding my own. So, like, you know, the business, the gallery's its own entity. You know, that's its own thing. I still have, you know, my thing, you know, to take care of me and stuff. And the gallery is more of creating experiences and opportunities for other people. But, you know, what am I doing still that's really going to fulfill me? So the helping people really does it for me, you know. And that, you know, those gaps, because I have the business experience and savvy, and most artists do not. I mean, most artists just want art. That's what we call it. You just want art.
Yeah,
that's, you know, you don't even really want to deal with the rest of it if you can help it. But often we don't have managers or art dealers or anybody that's going to do it for us, any type of representation. So we do have to learn these things. So getting artists better at business so they can actually have sustainable businesses and not have to, unless they choose to or unless it benefits them, you know, go and work, especially in an industry that they care nothing about, something that's draining from them when they could be putting that time and energy into giving to the world their gifts, which is why their gifts are supposed to be given. So getting people to make that switch, feel more comfortable and confident with that switch, give them strategies to be able to do that, so they can be successful. Like, that's has been fulfilling me. So yeah, I've you know, I fell into my purpose, and my purpose and my passions have intertwined. So I'm in a good space.
That's good to hear that, because it's not always that case for a lot of people where they get to embrace the journey as it unfolds for them. And most of the time you will hear people say, well, I had a lot of struggle, I had a lot of trial and error, there was a lot of ups and downs. But as I listen, I'm listening to you, it kind of like the next step came and you were like, okay, let me see where that goes. And every step actually brought you closer to something that really fit you as a person, but also as an entrepreneur. I'm really getting that from this part. Another thing that I found very interesting on your page was that you call yourself, or mentioned to call yourself, a art life coach, and not just an art life consultant, excuse me, and not just an art consultant, because most of the time in my own network, what I hear a lot is art consultants and managers and things like that. And just the mentioning of that art life consultant for me already sparked, like, why would somebody call themselves like that? Why have you chosen to present yourself to people like that?
Because it's a lifestyle. Like, if it's just art consultant, it's kind of, I think the implication is you create a piece of art and then you sell it, or you figure out where that's going to go, and that's it's kind of, that's kind of done, and it's very transactional. You know, the art life is different. So you might be, most artists are multidisciplinary anyway, but you might, you know, do a original canvas piece, you know, that you might finish that in the morning. At the end, you might be instructing a painting class, you know, the next day you might be hired to do a live painting for something. And, you know, you might need to also, especially if you're talking about passive income, have some digital products that accompany some of your work as well too. So one, you can increase your average transaction, just the amount of your average transaction, because you got little ads on, you know, little order bumps and all that stuff. Plus you're setting yourself up for passive income, because, you know, people, a lot of people want to learn how to do what it is that you've done, so you can teach. Like, as long as you're using your skills and talents, regardless how they look, you know, and you're sustaining yourself off of that, you're living the art life, you know. So whether it be, you know, prints, whether it be originals, whether it be, you know, whatever it is, like, it's the lifestyle. You know, you might, like, I might do a poem, you know, I might do a painting, you know, I might write a couple chapters of the art business book, all in the same day. Like, it's all me living, you know, this art life. And if you want to be, not that I'm trying to make anybody be a full-time artist, but if you want to be a full-time artist, you will be living that art life. Like, you will need to get exposure, build relationships, you know, you're gonna need to go to other galleries, you're gonna need to know how to, you know, contact your creators, like, you're gonna need to know all of these things. So it's more than just 40 hours a week, you know, it's more than you just create this and I got this and I have to figure out how to get this out. Like, no, this is me. Like, this is me living, period. Like, you know, so this is the art life.
And do you feel that that is a major part that artists see as an obstacle for themselves, that they have this one-sided or a narrow view of what the art life might be, so that they only focus on, well, I need to sell the next painting, I need to have the next performance, I need to have fill in the blank. And then when they meet you, they're like, oh, wait a minute, do I have to do all of those things? Because in my own podcast, I talk a lot about the fact that if you choose to be an artist, you also choose to be an entrepreneur. You choose to have several aspects of the business also underneath your own girdle, and you have to at least be aware of the existence of that part of the art life. So do you encounter that with artists, that they might have a narrow view, vision of what that might be for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of only know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know. But it's probably a whole lot that you don't know. So I get them, you know, enlightened on some of the things that they might not have considered. You know, alternatives, like, I'm real big on creative strategies, you know, that are specific to whatever goals and needs that particular artist has.
Yeah.
But yeah, you might only know one way to do things, and it's probably more than one way to do pretty much everything. So yeah, just getting them awareness of the different things. But I think typically most artists, at least nowadays, know that, you know, they're probably thinking original, you know, paintings. I deal mostly with painters. Well, I mean, I still technically deal with all artists, but I specifically, you know, call out visual artists. But then even under that umbrella, it is, you know, is wide. That's all they really know. They might know the originals, they might know the prints, and that's it. You know, some artists are unaware of how to market and sell themselves. Or maybe they're not having any success doing that. They post on social media all day and still like buying. You know, like, there's things that they're missing, especially talking about my psychology of sales and stuff, that, you know, if you switch this and do that, if you work on your caption, work on your hooks, you know, your copy, like, if you work on certain things, you know, you'll build up that know, like, and trust factor from everybody that's observing you, and you'll go get more business, you will get more referrals. So these are the things that I teach, because most artists aren't coming to the table people equipped with this knowledge already.
Yeah. So is that something that is also necessary for artists just to get into it by just doing it, just by trial and error? Because I believe that a lot of artists get so much information of how they can do it, but eventually you have to do it in order to learn that. Is that also part of being saying, well, that is also part of your strategy, that is also a way of putting yourself into your art, into your craft? Because you hear a lot of artists, well, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, or I can, they think their way through. I think that is what I want to say. They think their way a lot through it instead of just doing what they need to be doing for their craft.
Yeah, well, execution, I think, is what separates successful people from unsuccessful people, period. Anyway, a million people have ideas, and a lot of people are scared of people taking their ideas, but neither one of y'all gonna execute, so what the hell is the difference? You know, it's about who executes. So they can know what it is to do if they don't have, well, that's one of the things, like in the Pay the Artist Club, we have accountability. So yeah. It's like, you're not just gonna get this information and turn around and sell it or do nothing with it. It's like, no, okay, well, we said this was going to be done based upon what your goals are, not what my goals are, and I didn't give you those goals. You said you wanted this, so if you really want this, okay, if you really want this, this is what it's going to take to get it, and you got to do A, B, C, and D. I'm going to check and see if you did A. You did A, all right, cool, that's going to be, you know, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you, all right, we're going to do that, we're going to move on. If you're not doing those things, then, you know, you're the only one that's going to be, you know, responsible for that and reaping any of the benefits that would come from that if you do it, or, you know, being a lack if you don't do it. So accountability is big on that one, in terms of them knowing what they have to do, in terms of diving in and just trying stuff. Like, that's the way to learn, period, anyway. But I mean, how much time do you have to make all the mistakes yourself, though?
Sure.
You know, it's like, what was the saying? Something like a wise man, a smart man learns from his own mistakes. A wise man learns from other people's mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, why wouldn't you have, you know, a mentor or a coach who's already, you know, lost thousands of dollars doing it this way, that way, that way, you know, it's figured out, not technically shortcuts, but the way to not... you know, have to take the longer route because you failed the first time and you got to tweak it and go back. And then by the fourth time, you're like, all right, this is the way to do it. I already know that because I already tried it 3 or 4 times, you know, and figured that out. So, I mean, you could just try everything on your own and you will get it eventually, hopefully. But by that time, you've lost out on whatever money you could have made, whatever opportunity you could have made. Like, you could have been way further. You know, so you have to be willing to invest in yourself and the time put into learning these things. You know, the energy put into actually executing these things. So, yeah, you gotta put in it to get out. And my recommendation would be to get you somebody to accompany you on the journey, especially someone who's already achieved the things you want to achieve and have already helped other people achieve the things that you want to achieve. Or you can take the long route. I mean, you'll get there eventually, hopefully. Yeah. If it's still a space for you by the time you get there. But yeah, you gotta actually take action, whether it be by yourself or with the help, you know, of a coach or a group.
You said something really interesting. There's still space. Is it a very competitive space for artists, and maybe artists of color or people from different ethnicities? Is it a competitive space for them to say, well, if in order for me to learn this path and to get to the place where I need to be equipped with the right information? Does that give them an advantage to get into that spot where they need to be? Because where I am here in the Netherlands, it's, if you look at the base of, let's say, artists of color, it's already competitive. And then you have different layers as a woman, as a man, but maybe also as somebody who's older, maybe somebody who is as to learn it from by themselves to get to the spot where they need to be. It can be very competitive because it's just, there is just so much space for people to be in. So is it a competitive space for people? Do you think that artists are unaware of that factor?
I don't think they're unaware that it's competitive. I mean, if you just look at the numbers, there's always going to be more art and artists than there are art galleries, than there are art openings, like, you know, whatever. Like, it's not going to be as much opportunity as there is artists. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you can, and which is one of the things I teach as well, you can create opportunities. But still, again, I mean, how frequently can you do those? And you got to keep that up if that's the route that you're going to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you can create some buzz and leverage that into other opportunities. But it's always going to be a disadvantage to where the gallerist might only need 20 pieces of art, and there's 100 artists with 20 pieces each, you know? So it's like, yeah, it's going to, it's going to be competitive, you know, if you want to say, if you want to use that word. But ultimately, I see it as you're only competing against yourself. And so, like, there's, I mean, pretty much every artist, right, can, excuse me, identify another artist or multiple artists that they probably think they're better than as an artist. But these artists are getting more opportunity, they get more money, they get more sales, they get more write-ups, you know, like, more things are happening. And you, and it sets in frustration for artists, like, how are they doing it? And I'm better than them. You know, they probably know something you don't know. You know, taking an avenue you haven't taken, out of a situation being introduced to the right people. The world is small, but the art world is smaller.
Smaller.
Relationships are big. And just like, for example, like, I always, of course, give priority to any opportunities that come across my plate to the people that I coach. Like, you know, I'm going to give that to them. So I get hit with kind of like what would be the equivalent of if you work at a place and you a job is opening, and they send it out internally first to let, you know, the people that are there have opportunities to apply for the job before they send it out on a job board or something. Yeah, it's like the same thing. So before it's even public, you know, somebody hit me about something. All right, damn, I'll pass that on. And then my people get a chance to, you know, be first ones to apply, you know. And then obviously, you know, my word helps weigh in on things and stuff like that. So it's relationships, because if I know two artists that I feel have the same exact skill set, what's going to make me choose one over the other? Whichever one I know best, right? Whichever one I have best relationship with. So if I happen to have work with one of them and that went well and stuff like that. So that's going to make the difference. And that's something you're probably going to be hard-pressed coming along just going at it by yourself. You know, so again, you can, and you can make those, you know what I mean, relationships and all that. They take a while to build, you know, because everybody wants something, and people are kind of looking at you like, oh, what do they want? You know, you have to, you know, filter that through that. And it takes time, this period. It's not just about meeting somebody, when you're about actually having a relationship with that person that gets favors done, or, you know, stuff like that, gets you called first. So yeah, you can figure that out all on your own eventually. Most of the time, your average artist has no access to the people that actually make the decisions.
That's true.
So it's like, how do you even do that then? You know? So, and there are savvy ways that I've met some of these people that I've teach my artists to meet some of these people. Like, all of this stuff really comes off of, you know, experience and creativity, you know. So, you know, I've gotten slick with a couple of things where you like, and when I explain, it's like, oh, that makes sense. Like, I would have never thought to do that, is usually the reaction that I get. And to me, that's like normal stuff, which is kind of how, you know, kind of how I move. You know, I like to plant seeds and I like to harvest. So I'm always doing both.
That is the, funny enough, that is the energy that I'm getting from your platform. You're very calm, collective, and it's as if you already have this vision of how things look, but you also have the depth of the vision. Some people just have the vision and they let other people just chime in into what they can put in as depth. But what I'm getting from you is that you have the vision, but you also know what each and every part of that vision, how it works with each other. So how did you build that? I mean, you already kind of explained it through your story, how you build it by meeting people, by being introduced to new people, by also having your own entrepreneurial skills from a young age. How is that something that you have built? Because I can also imagine that you had some frustrating moments through your own journey. You were like, okay, I see that this is not working for me, and that you had this click to say, well, how can I make this work for me so that I can ease myself further into my process? How did you build that type of character?
It's a couple of things involved. I mean, I understand building blocks, you know, laying the cornerstone first before you can build the rest of the house.
Can you explain that? What that means to people, building, being cornerstone instead of being the center all the time?
Yeah. So, anybody knows anything about masonry, and you know, if anybody happens to be a mason, I'm not, but anybody could have, the cornerstone is the strongest. That's what lays first, and then everything is built from that. Like, it sets up the perimeter, also the parameters. So, all right, everything we're doing is inside of this. So, not going outside of that helps me not worry about distractions, keeps me really focused, you know, helps me with, you know, with my niche, which is visual arts. And again, a lot of trial and error. So, and so I'm like hyper observant. So I'm talking to people, and you know, I guess it kind of would be highly intuitive as well too. So it's kind of like I'm always hearing and seeing things people are saying or trying to show me. So I pick up on a lot of things. I can tell, like, somebody's body positioning change, you know, change the energy of the conversation. You know, I can feel where I lost them, you know, when if I'm trying to explain things, and then I'll take, okay, I know I lost this person here when I said this. So the next person I talk to, maybe I'm not going to say that, or I'm going to change that. And then I'll try to get the next person. I'll see, you know, little differences. All right. And I'll just keep on tweaking. So I get it right to where not only I can do it, other people can do it. Because one of the things that I learned early on, like, so friends have always come to me for, like, you know, advice and stuff, or especially with, you know, when I was younger, like how to talk to the opposite sex or stuff like that. You know, what to say. I've always been really good with words. So what has been taught to me a couple of times, that some of the things I say is like, okay, you can say that, but I can't say that. So they'll tell me, like, yeah, that would work for you. Like, if you would say something like that, it would go by cool. Nobody would flip. They'd probably laugh, you know, blah, 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 because of your personality, you know, how you deliver and stuff like that. So I had to be conscious of especially using, like, word tracks to where they don't have to be as charismatic as me, and it's still going to work. As long as you say exactly what I said in the order that I say it, their responses are going to be limited to one or two. This is the only way they can go. If you say it exactly the way I say it, this is the only way they can go. Okay, bet. Once we do that, and they're picking out one of these, if they go this way, we're going to say this. If they go this way, we're going to say that. So I've really gotten things down to a science, where they work almost 100% of the time. Just because it's human psychology, you know. So I've had a lot of sales training, which is also human psychology. So when you know, when you say certain things, particularly, again, let's say, like, to the opposite sex, they might start getting certain thoughts or feelings or whatever, which can open up certain conversations. If you don't want those conversations to happened? Don't start it. Don't say these thoughts. Don't say these, you know what I mean? So I'm very cognizant. Yeah, I'm very cognizant of that. Yeah, like it is. Like, you know what? Don't bring that up, you know, or if it comes up, I'll try to slide or whatever, you know. Very cognizant of it. So when I do engage in that stuff, it's because I want to, because I'm ready to. But I teach these same, you know, tactics and strategies to everybody that I coach. I speak very candidly. I use a lot of examples, you know, and things just make sense when I speak, because I like clarity. You know, clarity creates customers. So I get clear on what I'm saying. I get my artists clear on their offerings, on their products, on their deliveries, on their presentations, mm-hmm. on what their brand message is, and they get results from it.
Yeah. And what I also like that you said earlier is that you mentioned accountability, that it mm-hmm. is really important for artists to understand that they are accountable for the career that they want to build, whether they want to be part-time, full-time, however they want to build it, fill it in, it's up to them to be accountable for that. How do artists react to that? Because I can imagine that people will come to you and say, well, this person is going to help me with this strategy, and they have a plan laid out for me, and you're like, oh no, I mean, listen, I'm listening to what you're saying, I can guide you, but the rest you have to do yourself. How do people react to that?
So again, this specifically to me, I tell them, like, I'm not going to force you to do anything. I'm not your dad. You know, I'm going to say this is what I recommend you do. And, you know, you're grown. You do what you want. You don't do what you want. And we'll take it from there. So if it was something you were supposed to do and you haven't done it, again, that's on you. I'm reminding you that that's something you said you wanted to do. And you're the only one that's stopping your progress. So particularly it's a little easier in the Pay the Artist Club, because being a group, you know, coaching program, you see other artists in there and you hear about their wins. You know, I got an artist that signed up, and her first 2 months she sold 8 pieces. She wasn't selling any pieces before, you know. So that's average a piece a week, basically. She wasn't selling anything before. So even if those you know, range in between right now, her price range is between like 300 and 800, but that's a difference in where you vacation, you know what I mean? Like, that's the difference in where you live, like, especially she's already, yeah, she's working. This is supplemental income, you know, on top of that. So she can just save all of that if she want, you know, like, she's looking to retire within the next few years. So she contacted me to try to get, well, not try, because she's doing it, to get her business established, like, really rolling. So by the time she drops, it's like nothing, she's noticing nothing change, because that's already rolling. So that was, you know, one of the reasons why she hit me. I have another one who did the same thing, retiring the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. One who recently retired. So she's like, now I have time to focus on my art, you know, because I'm not working a, you know, regular job, this and that. And she's originally from Jersey. She contacted me. She's already living in Cali. But she's, I don't know how many pieces she sold already as well, too. So she actually did my one-on-one program. And then if you do my one-on-one program, you actually automatically have access to a group coaching program for 6 months after that as well, too. So now I still see her because she jumps in the group every now and then. But she sold over a handful of pieces. She's in her mid-60s. She just flew out to Chicago to do a show out there. You know, it was like just the confidence you get from having the knowledge makes a world of a difference, period. You know, like, people can tell if you have a needy energy, you know, when you're approaching them on stuff, which, you know, usually makes people kind of standoffish, or, you know, it's not the energy that you want to be in. We've changed all of that, and things are happening. So yeah, I'm excited about what's going on in the group. But as far as accountability, I'm gonna call you out on something, but I can't make you do, you know, anything. But if you see everybody else getting wins and doing stuff, and like I had a, you know, we go over things like copywriting and stuff. So I had like assignment. Everybody had to write 10 hook points. You know, email me the 10 hook points. You know, like three people did it. It was, we had like 2 weeks for that to be turned in. Three people did that the first week. I had to jump in the group chat. Like, yeah, only three people sent it to me. That's, you know, I got seven like the same day. Like, you know, so it's like everybody, so the steel sharpens steel, and you know, those, it's things that come with, that help with accountability, because you see other people doing things and you don't want to get left behind, you know? And especially this is, you know, it's a nominal fee, but it still costs something for the program. So you still want to get something out of it because, you know, you're paying something. So that also helps with accountability. It's like, oh, I'm gonna show up and, you know, do something because I'm paying for this. So yeah, I put things into place for that because you have to, it has to be some type of transaction, because without transaction, no transformation.
True. And you know, you just said how you explained accountability, the thing that I'm getting out of it is empowerment. Eventually, when people are held accountable, empower people to also to stand in their power, saying, listen, you got the power to do what it is that you want to do. I'm here to guide. And when I tell you, have you done this and you are able to do it, then you get this strength within yourself and confidence that says, well, I actually can not just want to be an artist in my head, but actually be an artist and have that active input in my own life. Your shirt, Paid the Artist.
Artists.
Can you tell me something about that? Because I found it a very bold but interesting and absolutely strong statement. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So I, again, words are my thing. So I wanted something that was, if you saw it, you knew what we say is slang. You know what type time I'm on. You know what I'm about when you see this. You know what I expect. Like, if I walk in something and you asking, oh, you can do this for free, I'm just looking at my shirt like, you wouldn't even ask me that. Because you see I got, you know, the hoodie on or the shirt on or whatever. Or if you've seen that everywhere, you know, on the website or social media, anything. So I wanted something to speak without me having to speak. That really said everything that I stand and I believe in. So yeah, whether it's us creating, you know, those lanes to get paid or us taking advantage of ones that are already there, end of the day, art is making billions of dollars for people. It's, you know, revitalizing neighborhoods. Like, it's like, it's older than currency. Like, it's literally, you know, it's history. Like, it's worth something, especially, you know, $63 billion industry. Artists should be getting paid because they're the ones creating it. So it's like, you got municipalities getting paid because artists are doing murals, and now, you know, it's more aesthetically pleasing in certain areas, so they're charging more to live in those areas, but the artist's not getting, you know, prop equivalent off of that, but they raise property values, you know. So I needed something that kind of overall encompass how I feel just about, you know, conversation and really respect of artists, because you respect me, you gonna pay me accordingly, you know. So yeah, I wanted to do that. I wanted to also get, I designed the graphic myself. I wanted to have something that was, again, clear, have an artistic feel to it. I wanted to make sure that the pay and art was like really, you know, sticking out. So I needed pay to be on his own line, you know, art on his own line. So I'm like, you know what, if I do it, you know, the four lines and break up artists, it's like, you know, it makes it more artistic. I have the paint flash under there as well too. So again, you know, I'm talking about painters primarily, even though, again, I do work with all types of artists. But primarily painters. So I figured that would encompass all of that I wanted in there in one shot. So yeah, that's like my sign off when I'm like Clubhouse or anything like that. So it's right on my branding. And I would say it's Dante Pay the Artist. You
it's clear. My attention goes to that, and just what you said, it is clear. The message is clear. I don't have to guess. It gives off a level of respect. Like, before you approach me, this is what I'm about. And before you do that, you need to actually figure out for yourself if I'm the person for you to approach. Yeah. Is it for artists? I have a lot of conversations with other people about it. But for artists, it can be a tricky part to say, well, what is my value? How do I say as an artist, pay me the amount that I feel that I'm worthy of? What is the obstacle for artists that I can, of course, imagine a couple of them, but maybe you, from your perspective, what could be maybe three obstacles that artists have when it comes to creating value, understanding what that value is? Because like you already mentioned, when it comes to murals that enhance the neighborhood, when it comes to artwork on a wall or in a business or in a mall, it enhances an experience for people when they are walking there or when they're sitting in a home. So it's not just the material cost and you making and putting the hours into your canvas. It goes beyond that. It goes beyond the canvas and the material. It's the experience that people constantly get from that. So how
most artists can't explain it. So justification is the biggest one. Mm. You know, so whether it be you have a breakdown, you know, itemized invoice, so they're seeing material costs, they're seeing hour costs, they're seeing everything, like, that's justified. So it's like, this is why I'm asking for this one, because you see these line items on here, then they add up down here, and to people who aren't artists, it makes sense to them, because you showed it in a different way. So it's being able to translate that into your, right branded people or whatever, and making it make sense to them. So if you can show them any type of numbers from what have happened in areas that maybe not even you previously done art would have benefited from, you know, art improvements. If you can tell stories, really paint the picture of the difference that it will make in their businesses. Maybe it's a situation where they kind of have like quick turnover, you know, people come in and out of the place, but if there's art in there, maybe they're in there longer now, you know, on average, you know, if you can figure out a way to prove that, maybe you can do a test. You know, like, all right, let me just hang this here for a week and we'll monitor this. Like, but most artists don't even think to get clever enough to do things like that, you know? So I would definitely get a test, you know, or if, even better, I would rent the art to that facility.
Yeah.
Another thing artists don't think about. I would rent the art, you know, as part of the test. Okay, we're going to have this here for this month. You're going to pay me X amount for the month, blah, blah, blah. If it does sell, you know, maybe I keep 100% of it. Maybe I give you, you know, a commission off of whatever. But we'll see what type of responses you get. We'll see. Because art can literally change the vibration in the place.
Exactly.
So we'll see if your customers are happy. You know, it works well, like in professional offices, like doctors, lawyers, and dentists and stuff like that. All right. So are more people, you know, referring more of your business, you know, now, or, you know, like, what is something is going to change? So figuring out a way to measure that. I mean, you might have to measure after it's already done, but figuring out a way to predict that and present that, that this is what's going to happen from that, is going to be huge, or even getting those opportunities. So if I can basically justify this art being in here is going to benefit you, even more than you just looking at it, I'm thinking it also benefit your business. That's going to give me added leverage to getting in the spot, you know?
Yeah.
And then maybe I can put them on a plan to where every month I come in here, you're just giving me, you know, $300 a month. And every month I'm coming here, giving you a brand new piece of original art. No, you don't own it, but you got a brand new piece of original art every month in your place. And I get to keep that art, and I made money off the art. So after I get that back, if I want, I still go sell it for whatever. You know what I mean? You know, but it's like, it wasn't just sitting in my house with me not making money off. I'm not nowhere. I'm not, you know, taking up any space. It's somewhere making money for me while I'm creating more art. So like, these are, you know, pieces of the puzzle and things that artists don't typically think about. But yeah, again, it's that, you know, it's that art life.
It's an art life. Exactly. I love the way you said it, the art life. What are your favorite artists at the moment, or art pieces that you're like, these have drawn my attention and I absolutely love to have them around me?
Well, my favorite artist at the moment, Kervin Andre, is one of my favorite artists. He's a Haitian artist. He does a lot of you know, cultural stuff, a lot of you know, celebrating, you know, Haitian legacy and their contributions and everything, expressing how the whole world is still mad at them because they fought for the independence and got to help other countries get it and stuff like that. And yeah, you know, so they refusing refugees from them, but they open them up to Ukraine, you know, stuff like that. You know, they want to get more non-melanated people, you know, different things. So he puts a lot of light on that stuff, and his work is like impeccable. So Kervin Andre, let me see, Deborah Jade. She's just so many artists. I'm starting to draw a blank. Like, all their names starting to mesh together, right? In my head. Kevin A. Williams. He goes by Art by Wok on Instagram.
I follow him. His work is amazing.
Wok is dope. And he actually did, so he had to be like late teens, early 20s when he created this piece. But he created a piece that went like viral before viral was a thing. And like every salon had this piece of, it's like women, like six or seven women sitting in a row. They got the towels on their head, and this guy is like giving them pedicures. I used to see that image as a kid in my aunt's salon. They used to own salons and stuff like that. You know, then my mother used to always get hair. So I was around a lot of salons. I used to see that painting so many different places. One, I didn't know it was a painting because everybody had the print. But then when I became an adult and got into visual arts and I saw it somewhere on the ground, I'm like, what? Like, and I looked it up and I'm like, no way. Like, I don't know why it didn't dawn on me that this was a real person that actually created this. Like, I'm just thinking, I'm like, no way I actually found the guy that did this iconic picture. Like, that was one of the ways that I was molded into, you know, treating women as well too, because that's the men taking care of their women, serving them, you know.
He has a lot of that in his art, the unity.
And then finally that was like, oh man, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I still haven't met him in person, but it's kind of like, you know, you find in one of your childhood heroes or something like that. It's like, wow, bro, like I've been, you know, appreciating your art for, I didn't know who you were, I didn't know how to find you. Like, if this was the 90s. He's like, there's no way I was going to be able to find him. You know, social media wasn't what it was and all that, you know, but now everyone is pretty much a click away from everybody else. So he's still, you know, coming hard with all his stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Beautiful pieces. I that's the way that I look at his art. He has a beautiful way of just putting that unity between men and women. He has one piece where you see, it's like Adam and Eve walking.
With the tree back there.
One piece I really like. And also just the way that he started, because I follow him on Instagram, so I also got a little bit of his background on how he started and was really like just doing drawings for people and getting himself into the industry and basically, I think, coming at the place where he is right now. So very interesting story that he has as an artist, but also just his work is... for me, when I'm looking at it, impeccable. Like, absolutely love his work. Every time I'm looking at my phone and I see something new, I'm like, whoa, it's just amazing how he works. Yeah, so, yeah.
One day I will own one of his pieces. Ernie Barnes, who did Sugar Shack. You know, Sugar Shack is like one of my all-time favorite paintings.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Good Time on Crack or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's amazing. And then it's like the surrealism in it. Like, that was like one of the first artists that I really, you know, saw with like, with that style. So Ernie Barnes and Ron Powell. Ron E.A. Powell. He goes by R-E-A-P. Might be R-A-P. R-E-A-P art on the ground. But Ron Powell. Amazing oil painter. Ron actually has a full-time gig engraving at Tiffany's. So that's like his thing. Like, so his hand is like just crazy. So he'll take your ring and he'll put somebody's face inside the band of the ring. Like he's fire, period, artist all around. He's actually based out of Jersey, which is dope. And I actually have a piece from him right now in my gallery. But we've exhibited him a few different times. Ron Powell is really, really talented as an artist as well, too. So those are just a few that come off the top of my head. I said Deborah Jade. I'm like, damn, did I say any woman? Yeah, okay, all right, I said Deborah Jade. I'll make sure.
That is important.
Sure, I'll be equal.
Yeah, because are there more men in art than women? Do you think?
You know what? I don't know at this point, because when we think about the art world, traditionally is white men dominated. At least the ones that are getting the light. So I don't know really how to answer that. And in my experience, everything from my gallery, just my parties, everything. Actually, sheesh. My whole experience has, I attract more women than I do guys, period. Anyway, so yeah, I tend my actual life experience. If you look from my eyes, I see more women. So I would say there's more art women, but maybe just the women just like to work with me. Around me or whatever like that. So I don't know. So it might be a whole bunch of guys over there, even more. They just not coming into my awareness. So I don't know. But I work mostly with women artists than I do with women artists. That's been my track record.
Okay.
Not that I market that way.
I can understand that because I don't know if it's that the way in the States, but sometimes I do get the feeling in Europe that it can be a kind of cold, distant, but also very competitive and aggressive type of atmosphere when it comes to the art world and how people want to buy and sell and present art. And I think that's also one of the reasons why I invited you for this interview, is because your perspective and how you show it is very articulate, but also calm and collective. So I think for a lot of people, it can be a fresh breath of air just to hear that perspective and also just be very, for themselves, like you said, be clear in who you are and take accountability. So it takes the stress away of I got to. And it goes more to, well, I have the possibility to, let me research it. Let me delve into it. And then from there on, I can look what the other possibilities are. Because that is a lot what you're getting. People wanting, going to the next moment and not kind of the hustle mentality. Yeah. Instead of saying what you just mentioned, the art life, it's an art life. It's your life. So basically, where are you running to? It's your life. You get to just do it step by step, it will be okay wherever you go. So yeah, I'm really pushing for time, but I just want to ask one question, because the thing that I'm also getting from you is mentality. A lot of it is the mind being capable of perceiving that picture. How much, you don't have to go into depth, because that is part of your strategy and your business, of course, but how much of it is that a thing that you also have to bring to your audience, your the people that you consult? Because I can imagine that for artists, this, the mind, is just as creative and pliable as the canvas that they work on. But in a lot of cases, they just, is that connection, or actually that disconnect that you can bring to them, say, well, let's connect that now together. How many times does it happen for you to say, well, it's basically your mind. It's just moving your mind into the right direction.
So I believe in giving, how do they say, put the pill in ice cream or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, candy coating the medicine. So I probably wouldn't use certain verbiage. I don't want to set up any walls, any alarms. I don't want anybody to clamp them up, you know. I don't want anybody's brain to realize that I'm trying to change things, because your brain is designed to keep you safe. In order to do that, it's going to do the same thing it already knows, because it knows you can survive it. So it doesn't really want new stuff. So I don't want to have to combat any defenses that I could have snuck around. So I don't raise the alarm like that.
That's smart.
I present things in a certain way to where I get a lot of ahas. You know, I get a lot of that. You know, oh, I never thought of it like that. I get a lot of that. So I've learned to deliver it in a way to where you're not like, oh, he's working on my mindset, you know, or there's other people that work on mindset. Because, again, I have to differentiate myself from other people. You know, I could have just went and got a mindset coach or blah, blah, blah. It's like, I mean, that wouldn't teach you sales and marketing, but I mean, still, it would help you if you just went and got that. But definitely, there's a lot of mindset work that we do, usually unbeknownst to my artists.
We
definitely get it done. Actually, one of my last reels is psych hacks to raising your prices, because we always talk about, you know, raising your prices and that, but your prices aren't raising because literally you aren't raising them, because who else has control over your prices? You. So they're not raising it because literally you didn't erase the 100 and put a 2. Like, literally you are the only one stopping your prices from raising. So, all right, how do you, and then even once you can do that, let's say you can talk yourself into doing that, in your mind, you're probably not going to believe it's worth the 200 now. You're only going to believe it's worth that 100, which means everybody else is going to feel that energy and they're not going to want to pay the 2 for it. So now you got to hack yourself. So I got a couple tips in there how to, again, justify in your mind of, you know, that not only being worth that, but that being a steal. So let's say you did a piece that you're selling for 500, but you believe this piece, based off of whatever else we go through, that this piece is worth 1,000, you selling it for 500, you feel like you're giving it away. You feel like they rob you, like they steal you. So guess what? It's going to go for 500, because if anybody asks you to lower the price, you're looking at them crazy. Like, what? I already knocked 500 off for that. Like, what are you talking about? You know, and then, like, that energy just has, like, oh, okay, well, and it lets them know they're getting the deal and they're going to get it. And then now your moving pieces starting at 5 when you were doing it at 2 before. You know, so, like, there's, you know, you do have to hack self. I'm definitely savvy about how I present that, because I don't want resistance. You know, I give a lot of when I'm teaching, particularly a lot of examples, like relationship examples and stuff. But that's how I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot of things.
That's funny.
Dealing with women, it's like, all right, so that don't work. You know, so let me do this. Let me present it this way so I can get the best results. You know, because I want to be successful in those areas. So I'm like, all right, now I can just transfer the things that I've done and things that I've said, and knowing the timeliness of when to say things. I haven't tapped because, again, a woman told me one time, like, even if you don't want the same exact thing, if you say it the wrong way, you blew your shot, you know. So it's like, yeah, all right, cool, So learning to use tact, because you already have the green light when you can say something and mess it up. Now you don't get it, you know what I mean? Like, it's, they already know whether or not they want to do something.
Literally hear the brains just go,
and it's exactly. And I felt that plenty of times. I was like, I messed that up. Oh, I, you know what I mean? So I've learned. So, all right, so the next one, I'm not going to say this because, you know, just in case she had a same response. And it's getting, you know, my wording and delivering everything tighter. And, you know, I give those same examples and experiences. You know, I tell some stories or whatever. And I think one of the strengths I have is the ability to explain complex things very simply.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why,
yeah,
why it works. And then, you know, I have fun, you know, got a little hood on too, so that helps, you know, the edge kind of makes it fun. So.
Got to. Mr. Dante Muse, I want to thank you a lot for this interview. I've learned a lot. I have so many more questions, but maybe for next time, maybe for next interview, who knows? Before I leave, what is it that you have to do? How can people find you? What are your social handle? What is your website? How they can they reach you? What are, do you have books, your merchandise, your shirt?
Yes. So you can definitely go to the website, which is imdmuse.com, which is first initial, last name as my real name. This, again, everything is alignment. You know, I took the long getting around, but I had to accumulate all the knowledge that I have now. Like, my master's is in public administration. I never even used that shit. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, so I have, you know, both institutional education, you know, real-time professional education.
You have these secret types of...
Yeah, I mean, it all culminated into, you know, who I am today, which is why I can bridge that gap, you know, between just the art and the business. You know, I've done both, and, you know, I am both. So it's really, really natural to me. Like, I'm kind of always looking for opportunities. My ears are heat when I'm talking to somebody to figure out a way, you know, I can serve them, to, you know, build their relationship, get them to serve me, act fears and stuff like that. Like, I'm kind of always thinking like that. You know, even when I'm relaxing and having fun, like, it is literally like another voice or, you know, inclination. I'd be like, oh, you know, walk over here and just stand there, and I'll stand there, and somebody will walk up to me. It's like, if I hadn't been there, you know, we wouldn't have had those type of conversations. So everything is really aligned. So like I said, I am in my purpose. I feel that 100%. But they can find me on IMDMuse on all social media. You can go to the website, which is IMDMuse.com. I actually have a free training. If you go to workwithdmuse.com, to give you a free training, and actually at the end of the training, it allow people the opportunity to book a call with me as well, so we can get on a strategy call. You know, if I can, I give them the, you know, what to do. I can't break down all the how to do it, because, you know, that's the next level.
Let's keep that.
I can tell them what to do, you know. So regardless whether we can work together beyond that or not, they still leave that off them where they can. So I like to, you know, help where I can, do my dose of altruism, which is me putting and teaching as much as I do, you know, on my social media platforms. I have a couple of books, most notably my Tripping Over Canvases series. So I've released two of those, getting ready to start working on the third one. So the first one is Tripping Over Canvases, How to Open Your Own Art Gallery with No Prior Experience. I wrote that because I did it, you know. Again, all the stuff is real life, real practical nuances that you might not even thought of, you know, that, you know, stumbling blocks you can avoid if you're looking over open space, stuff like that, whether it be online or brick and mortar. Then the second one is Tripping Over Canvases, How to Become a Successful Art Entrepreneur. That's really the one that's, you know, that's went off. It has actually a decent amount of international sales. And then, you know, I have some ebooks as well, Artist Branding 101, you know, is your art worth it? You know, like, there's a bunch of different resources that I have. Even the email template list, because most artists aren't building their email list. They're relying on things like social media. But if your account gets hacked, you can't get back in there. Even if you had 30,000 followers, guess how many followers those you have now. Zero. You own them. Yeah. Those are the platform's followers. Those are not your followers. Exactly. You know? Now, if you have 30,000 emails, then you can email them, hey, I opened a new page over here, man, you got 30,000 followers. You know, you got people to constantly market to. Even those 30,000 are there, they're not privy to your post because of the algorithm. They're only showing to a percentage of them. So again, if you're emailing those people every week or bi-weekly or whatever it is, then now 30,000 people, you know, or X amount of percentage of those people, and what it be on your platforms, are seeing your sale. They know when you have your exhibition, so the house is packed, which make another gallery come and be like, oh, all these people come out for them. Let me give them an opportunity over here. Like, there's things that build. Like, if you're missing some of those pieces, you're not going to get, you know, maximize results. So yeah, I kind of forgot what I was talking about a little bit. Sorry, rambling. But
no, that's okay. That's okay.
Go to the website. Yeah. And the book. So yeah, the entrepreneurship book. Like, people need that in their life. Go ahead and get that one. And I'm actually going to do a like pre-orders for the next one, and I'll probably do the first 50 people to you know, to buy the pre-order. I actually mentioned them in the book, you know, as another way for exposure, you know, for them as well too. So, you know, one hand wash the other type of situation. You know, you gotta give me the funds, you know, to physically produce the book before it even comes out. That'll be covered with the pre-sales. And then also, everybody that buys a book, and all of them sold at least a few hundred, you know, and now also know what it is that you do, be able to look you up and different things like that as well too. So yeah, those are things that's coming down the line. All the pay to artist merchandise is also at indmuse.com.
Good. People know what to do. Please follow this man on his platform, Instagram, go to his website, support, and the thing that I also mentioned in my podcast, if there is something that you want to learn, be open to learn it. We don't know everything, and then you also mentioned it, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes having that conversation with someone is going to help you know what you might need to know.
Then so, at least you can ask the right questions.
Hey, at least the right question, and maybe, as you also said, shorten, you know, the trial and error process for yourself. So I hope that this podcast can also help with that for the audience. Dante, I want to thank you a lot for this interview. And hopefully we might see each other in the future again for another interview.
Yeah, let's put it together. I'm with it.
Good. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. This is Dante, paid artist. Peace.
This episode was brought to you by MCJ Studio. To know more about all updates and behind-the-scenes content, go to the website and subscribe to the mailing list right now. Support the platform through the web shop and the social media. See you next week with a new episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Your attention has been very much appreciated. Make sure to follow and subscribe to our social media platforms. See you next week.